Hello, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. All right. 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, he also erected altars for the Baals and made Asherim and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name shall be in Jerusalem forever." For he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and he practiced witchcraft, used divination, practiced sorcery, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he put the carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them, according to all the law, the statutes, and the ordinances given through Moses." Thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. When he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now after this, he built the outer wall of the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entrance of the fish gate, and he encircled the Ophel with it and made it very high. Then he put army commanders in all the fortified cities of Judah. He also removed the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord, as well as all the altar which he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside the city. He set up the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and he ordered Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high places, although only to the Lord their God. Now, the rest of the acts of Manasseh, even his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are among the records of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated by him, and all his sin, his unfaithfulness, and the site on which he built high places and erected the ashram and the carved images before he humbled himself, behold, they are written in the records of the Hosea. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. And Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made, and he served them. Moreover, Moreover, he did not humble himself before the Lord as his father Manasseh had done, but Amon multiplied guilt. Finally, his servants conspired against him and put him to death in his own house. But the people of the land killed all the conspirators against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. Okay, amen. So Manasseh is the one who succeeds Hezekiah, if you remember. And so Hezekiah, if you remember, in his last days, he was struck with a mortal illness. God healed him and gave him favor. But the condition was basically, you know, "Lord, please heal me. Please don't do anything to my time. But time after me, you can do whatever you want." It sounds like kind of a bad bargain. And so we see that obviously the next son that comes is going to be evil. And so we're introduced to Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old, so he's a really young boy. He reigned 55 years. That's a long time, particularly for an evil king. And most likely, the length of time was obviously lengthened because he repented and he turned around. And so he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did all kinds of things. Just to give you an idea, you know, Ezra is writing a little bit about how evil he was. If you look at all his lists, he consulted with mediums, spiritists, sorcery. I mean, whatever abomination there was in the land of Israel, Manasseh did it all. I mean, he basically didn't consult God. He only consulted the spiritists, the magicians, the conjurers during that time. Even worse of all, he says here that not only did he put a carved image in the house of the Lord, which was forbidden, but he made his sons pass through the fire. If you remember, this is an old Babylonian cult rite. And so they're actually talking about human sacrifices during this time. And if you remember the god of Molech, Molech it was an altar, and the baby would be put on the altar, and it would basically roll down into the fire. And so the idea of pass through the fire was assigned to the god of Molech. And so that's basically what they did. I mean, really gruesome kind of stuff. The killing of infants. This is like totally demonic. You know what I mean? I mean, absolutely demonic. By the way, you know, whenever I talk about Molech, I always talk about modern-day Molech, which is abortion. And so it's amazing how in our world today that this is laid out as women's rights, you know, people's rights, and all those kinds of things. Brothers and sisters, don't be misled. It is simply a modern-day version of the sacrifice of the god of Molech. The devil, the enemy, wants our babies. For whatever reason, they just want our babies. There must be, you know, I don't know much about Satanism, you know, but there must be some added power that's given as a result of that. And what we see today, it's much more sophisticated. You know what I mean? It's much more readily available. It's much more modernized. But in the eyes of God, it's the same exact thing. It's the murder and sacrifice of our babies. And so if you're counseling someone, you have a friend who doesn't know Jesus, and they're thinking about doing this, so you let them know the truth of what this act truly, truly is. And so so all kinds of horrible things. And remember, this is the heart of Ezra. The main lesson that we see through the Chronicles as he's writing is so simple. And if you notice, like almost every chapter has a nod to this central idea. You follow God's commands because his commandments are not burdensome, the New Testament tells us. You do what God has asked us to do, you will have a blessed life. Now, the flip side, you disobey the commands of the Lord, you do what you want to do, and you do in this way, you know, did you like how it's written very black and white? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so you do evil in the sight of the Lord, his anger comes, and judgment and punishment and captivity, all these things come about. What happens to Manasseh? So the king here of the Assyrians, now he's succeeded, Sennacherib, now his son succeeds him, and he spends a few years kind of organizing the kingdom, and then after he's finally done with kind of the reproach of his father, remember his father went back in shame, and so after that reproach, he comes, and he settles his own kingdom, and then he goes after those vassals that he had before. Remember, the Israelites and the kingdom of Judah used to pay a tribute to Sennacherib. So he goes and reinstates that to build wealth in his kingdom. That's how kings build wealth. They went and made other kingdoms subject to themselves. So he goes and he first invades Israel and conquers them actually quite speedily, and then he goes after Judah. And so these events coincide with the anger of the Lord burning on Manasseh. In other words, a natural event that actually speaks of a divine event that takes place. You know how he says, whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven? Or even better said, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, he says it very clearly that, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, you know, we know the translation is and on earth as it already has been done in heaven. The decree has already been given from heaven, and now Sennacherib's son is manifesting that heaven's will here on earth. And so we see this happening. And to add to shame and insult, he is basically carried through the word here. And says that he's they captured Manasseh, this is verse 11, with hooks and bound him with bronze chains and took him to Babylon. This old translation says fetters. A better translation, hooks is actually pretty good, but really what it is, it's a thong that's actually pulled through the nose. And so it's a sign of slavery. It's imagine, you know, an ox is also in that same way with a ring in the nose and chains pulled through. It's the same idea. Now, obviously, a man is not supposed to be put in that place, but to add to the further humiliation of Manasseh, he also, and he's carried through, I mean, long journey from Judah all the way to Babylon, and he's carried through it as like some slave or something. And we see this, but again, another one of the themes of Ezra. Sure enough, this thing happens, and what does he do? He repents. He repents. Brothers and sisters, what is our greatest ally? I mean, what is the thing that we can do when we have done wrong? Yes, you can go and try to fix it, right? That's called reconciliation. But what really works more than anything else is repentance. And now look at Manasseh. Manasseh did a lot of bad stuff, man. I mean, he brought idols into the temple. You know what I mean? He went to divinators, spiritists, mediums. I mean, all kinds of things. He sacrificed his own children. You know, maybe not even his own children, but other children. I mean, this is horrible. But God forgave him because he repented. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's really true. It really is. No matter how black your sin is, no matter how much wrong that you've done in your life, if you go and you say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I won't do this again. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is not just sorrow. Repentance is turning around 180 degrees. It's totally turning away. And says, Lord, I'm so sorry. I won't do this again. And guess what? And God says, okay, I'll forgive you. And see, and part and parcel with forgiveness is also God's blessing. So what does he do here to Manasseh? He entreats the Lord. This is verse 12. He was in distress. He entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Notice the key there is the beginning of verse 12. When he was in distress. When he was in distress. You know, this is a mistake that atheists generally people that really don't understand God and our faith, and this is a mistake that they make. They think that Christianity is for weak people. You know, you've heard these statements. You know, it's the opiate of the masses. It's the crutch for the weak. You know, Lenin. Philosophers. Nietzsche. You know, they say all these type of things, and they don't quite understand the heart of our faith. It's not that it's the opiate of the masses or it's the crutch of the weak. It's only when we are weak. It's only when we are in distress that we actually seek after God. You know, the one doesn't come before the other. And to be quite frank and honest, it takes great strength, actually, you know, to repent. It takes great strength to humble ourselves. This goes against every part of our human fabric. No one wants to humble themselves before anybody. You know what I mean? My wife, She's probably anyone in this world. My wife is the one who encourages me to repent more than anybody else in the world. And particularly when it comes to our kids, and particularly my eldest daughter. And, you know, she's a teenager now, and so she talks back a lot. And so, you know, after a while, it just kind of gets on your nerves. By the way, she's a very sweet girl, so I don't want you to get a wrong idea, because I see the youth pastor staring at me right now. But she has these moments, and usually it's when she's under stress, you know, like she's got an exam, you know, or she's got a paper due or something like that. So I'm starting to understand it now. I've been told I could be quite menacing, you know, even though I just say something, but my wife always tells me, but Sam, it's your eyes. It's your eyes. Your eyes don't lie. You know, and so even though I think inside I'm being very nice and, you know, generous and all these things, but my eyes don't lie. I'm just intense. And so, and it's my eyes that freak out my daughter. And so she reacts to that, you know, and, you know, so my wife, you know, we're going to bed and she, you know, she goes, Sam, you know, da, 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 you should go and you should say sorry before you go to bed. I'm like, no, I will not. I dare not. You know, this is, you know, she's 13. She's beneath me, you know, and so on and so forth. But man, it just, you know, you're lying in bed and you know, you're not going to sleep that night. And just gnawing at you. And then you got to do the strenuous thing of get out of bed and go to your daughter. And of course, you know, you go and say sorry, and your daughter totally rejects you. It always works that way. Oh, don't talk to me. And then I got to just grab her and hug her, you know, and then she calms down. It's crazy how that works. I mean, humbling ourselves is just not in our human condition. Or I should say, yeah, humbling ourselves is not in our human condition. You know, to walk in pride, that's who we are. You know, Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceptively, so deceitful. You know, who can understand it? And so that's what we're about. And so we see Manasseh does so many horrible things. And as a leader, led people away from God, undid everything that his father had done before. And yet when he cried out and he says, God, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on me. And God says, all right. And then, this is the beautiful thing that only God does. He restores Manasseh. He brings him back to Jerusalem. You know, I mean, I'd love to hear the story of how that happened. You know what I mean? It must be a crazy story of how, you know, in captivity, and then he gets put back, and now he's back in charge. He's the king again of the kingdom of Judah, and he restores the worship in the temple again. He goes, and over 55 years, I don't know how long this was, but he goes back, and then he starts even fortifying his city. Many of us that just came back from Israel, we were right there in the city of David. We saw, you know, the Gihon and the springs and everything that's happening. And he goes and restores, you know, the Ophel, which is the tower. I mean, we saw all this stuff, you know, the citadel. And we see all these, and then he fortifies the cities of Judah, removes the foreign gods, these idols from the house of the Lord, and they start worshiping the Lord once again. That's called restoration. Brothers and sisters, God is in the restoration business. Listen, he knows we're going to make mistakes, every single one of us. He knows that we make mistakes, but yet he says that we're just a prayer, that he's just a prayer away. You know, which goes to another kind of side commentary, if I can just make a comment on it. It's been said that Christianity, you know, we're really one of the only ones that actually shoot our wounded. It seems like God is willing to give people so much grace, but yet the people of God are sometimes the most graceless. You know, someone falls, someone makes a mistake, and, you know, in other words, they're wounded, and instead of caring for them and, you know, bringing them back to the fold, we shoot them on sight. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon. Oh, my goodness, that guy did what? That guy did this. This pastor did that. And so on and so forth. And we don't have the heart of God. And we so easily shoot our wounded instead of take care of them and restore them. Remember what Paul told the church in Galatia? He says, you who are spiritual, restore the one. That should be really our sign of spirituality, not that we are become pharisaical, you know, and try to wipe them out from the face of the earth and to separate in that way. It's just, you know, just kind of something to think about, especially, you know, as a church. And, you know, over the years, we're going to see a lot of people fall to the wayside. You know, you who are spiritual, Paul, Galatians 1, restore. That's our job, because God, he's in the restoration business. He's not in the shaming business. He's not in the anger business. He says his anger just lasts for just a little while. It's a moment. And it's necessary, because it brings us to the reality of the situation. You know, but he restores. And that should be our primary job here. And then Manasseh, he dies, and then I'll just go real quick. He slept with his fathers. Generally speaking, when you hear that word in the Old Testament, he slept with his fathers, which means he died a very like good natural death. Like, trust me, we all want to sleep with our fathers, okay? You know, that's the best way to go, just in peace. But his son Ammon comes on the scenes and he undoes everything. And it's really interesting how God still loves Judah. He still protects them. He says, so that the servants conspired against Ammon, but yet the conspirators were killed. And that's really important because that saves Josiah. Because that would have, you know, obviously they would have got rid of Josiah after that. But God needed Josiah because Josiah is a righteous king. And there's actually many, many great things. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Is there something that God is asking you to humble yourself in today? Remember, God sees the proud from afar, but he gives grace to the humble. Is there something that you really feel like God is really challenging you to seek forgiveness from somebody? Or maybe you have a friend that's kind of fallen away from the Lord, and the Spirit is speaking to you about this message this morning, that maybe you've shunned them, or maybe you've forgotten about them, and maybe God wants you to reach out to them. Bring some sort of restoration or kindness. The Bible tells us the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And maybe he's expressing his kindness through you. Grace, something that's undeserved. So either you need some sort of restoration God's inviting you to, or you know someone that does. Let's first respond to the Lord in prayer. And then let's respond to the Lord in deed.
By his blood. cast all your burden now on Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Turn in power to reign. Heaven and earth will join to sing. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Then who shall fall on bended knee? All creatures of our God and
pray this morning, huh? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And if there's something that you need to repent of today, something that needs to be restored, huh? Let's go before the Lord. He'll never deny that humble prayer. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer, going through chemo. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors. And let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our missions slide, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. You know, in the midst of all the protests that are happening, you know, we're thankful for some of the developments that are going on. Let's pray no violence. Let's pray that the Christians would really stand up and really pray over the city during this time. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival, you know, over this place. Let's lift up all the churches in this city. Let's pray for our friends here. Let's pray for sports services, for Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for Hong Kong students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Let's just lift up our city before the Lord. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray that God would use us, that we would just serve with all of our heart and in a deep humility, and that we just be really given the wisdom of God. Let's pray protection over our families as well. Let's just really ask God's blessing. Let's go to our ministry focus, and let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's cover our welcoming and our baristas. Let's pray that there would just be a spirit of gentleness and just so much love and care that every person that comes in, either a guest or a member, would just really feel and sense the love of Jesus in this place through our welcomers and our baristas. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our worship and sound and AV teams, and let's pray for our worship leaders, and let's just really ask the Lord to really empower them, to really use them to lead us into the presence of God through all aspects, through the worship leading, through the sound, through the AV presentations. Let's just ask for God's covering over our men and women that serve in this capacity. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, First Street, Fontana Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's pray for our house church leaders. Let's pray for our hosts. Let's pray that every member that gathers together, that will just really experience the love of God. But at the same time, we'll be really challenged in their faith. And particularly as we, this weekend, we talked about the religious spirit, that it would really drive home and that we would walk in humility. Let's cover. Thank you. Alright, and let's stand to our feet. Today's getting to the 9 more days left of our 40-day treatment coming against our strongholds. So let's do this together. Alright, ready? 1, 2, 3. Father God, I declare before you and your angels, before Satan and his demons, that your word is true. It's always true, and I embrace it and I believe it by faith. And I declare that what is written will come to pass in spite of my circumstances. And now I do this. I come against you, Satan, and your demons. I tell you in the name of Jesus, the word of God is true. It's a rock, and I stand on the rock. I'm shaking on the rock, but the rock is not shaking under me. Listen to me, Satan. I come against this stronghold, and I pull it down, and I pull it down in the name of Jesus. I resist you today and tomorrow for the next 9 days until you flee, because it is written, it is written, it is written. You will flee. You must flee. I will defeat you. It is written in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, it's simply by your mercy, God, that we can even pray these prayers. It's by your mercy, God, that anything spiritual, Lord, happens in our lives, God. And so we come to thank you, Lord. God, there is many of our members, God, that, Lord, are bound in some kind of stronghold, Lord God. Lord, we thank you. Your word says that you've given us, Lord, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, God. Would you destroy these fortresses, God, that are in our minds that take us away from the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, God, and all of your glory. And so do your deep, deep work of the Spirit in our lives, God. Lord, would you continue to protect Hong Kong? God, would you just cover this city with your love, Lord? And we continue to sing hallelujah, God, over this place. And so we thank you. We love you. Watch over us today, God, as we seek to glorify you in all that we do and say. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.